Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Glowatz. Ben Jarofsky writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. How are you doing today, Ben?
Doing well. It seems like you're much healthier than you were the last time I saw you.
I like to think so, at least physically. My psyche is disturbed.
Damaged.
Yeah. Yes. Today we're talking about an article of yours that appeared in the Reader on May 9th, 2013, titled "The School Model That's Good Enough for President Obama and Mayor Emanuel." In this article, you describe the University of Chicago lab schools and how they or it differ from many Chicago public schools, and lab schools being on the University of Chicago campus in Hyde Park. I thought we might start with describing what lab schools are to our listeners.
I mean, because it's a grade school and a high school. Okay.
Yeah, I've got some stats here.
Oh, do it, baby.
The lab schools comprise about 1,800 students, 200 faculty, and has pre-K through 12th grade. It's a big school. Pre-K including what they call nursery 3, nursery 4, and then kindergarten. So you could get all of your preschool, primary, secondary, and post-secondary education without ever leaving the University of Chicago campus.
Right. You could be born at their hospital.
There you go.
You would never leave Hyde Park.
And this school is owned by the University of Chicago, and it's over 100 years old. And it's called the laboratory schools because of...
They have Bunsen burners?
Yes, Ted Bunsen is the founder. No, that's not true. It's actually Mr. Dewey was
John
the
Dewey.
John Dewey is the founder of the school. One might wonder how one gets into University of Chicago laboratory schools.
I'm wondering.
They claim that the University of Chicago faculty receive priority attention in the application process.
Okay.
So there's a lot of kids of U of C teachers. And if you're not U of C faculty, the lab schools recommend that the best points of entry for your child is one of two ways, either at nursery 3, so start them young,
or
grade 9.
Uh-huh.
And they say that other grades, quote, typically have openings only through attrition.
I see.
Unquote.
Unless you're the mayor.
Unless you're the former chief of staff of the president.
Yeah, okay.
They don't say that, no. Anything else that you think our listeners should know about the lab school?
No, that pretty much sums it up. It's a very expensive school.
What is the tuition?
Don't quote me on this, but I believe it's $25,000 around a year. Now, I think it's less money for the grade school.
Nursery 3.
As opposed to the high school. It's quite expensive to go there. To the lab school. So it's a private school. It's a prestigious school. It's a quote-unquote progressive school. That's three P's, alliteration. Progressive meaning in terms of education, following the precepts of aforementioned John Dewey.
He invented the library, didn't he?
Yes, the decimal system. It also, and this is the point of my column, it's a very tolerant, civilized attitude toward its teachers, who they tend to treat as though they were sort of university professors, respected for their expertise and protected from unwarranted intrusion by central office figures. So the point I was making is that the leaders of the University of Chicago, who oversee the lab school, could never get away with the sort of autocratic meddling that Mayor Emanuel has done with our teachers in the Chicago public schools. And so I was suggesting that we adapt the same civilized principles of governing a school system and its personnel that are appropriate for the mayor's children and the president's children. Artie Duncan himself, he went to the lab school, to teachers who teach everyday children throughout the city of Chicago.
And you said all that with a straight face, too.
Yeah.
Despite my smirking.
Yes.
You start the article by quoting a lab school's teacher.
Yes, who remain anonymous.
Who talks about how many private school teachers detest the educational policies of Mayor Emanuel.
Just received a text from one right here. It's funny we should talk about this.
I'm just wondering how one substantiates that claim. Like, this guy said it.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question to do a survey. I mean,
like, who does he speak for?
He's speaking for himself, largely. What got me curious to do this story in the first place was that he wasn't the only one, but emails from University of Chicago lab school students and teachers who were writing about the closing of schools on the South Side and they were opposed to what Mayor Emanuel was doing. That caught me by surprise. Why would they even be paying attention to it? It doesn't affect them. Normally in Chicago, the only people who pay attention to things are people most directly affected by them. That's why the mayor has a 50% approval rating at the moment. I don't mean to go on that tangent.
You've been reading the Trib again.
I read the Tribunal every day. So I struck up a conversation with this one particular teacher, and he told me that. So to answer your question, I have no idea what percent, like if you break it down into a poll, what the attitude of private school teachers are to the mayor. For that matter, I've never seen a poll for what the attitude of public school teachers are to the mayor. Or just it's all anecdotal in terms of individual teachers who contact me. So this man was telling me, you wouldn't believe how many private school teachers oppose the policies of, well, not just Mayor Emanuel, but he went on to talk about Arne Duncan and No Child Left Behind and President Obama's educational policies. And I was surprised. I told him, I said, I don't believe that. I would have thought that private school teachers would have embraced these policies. And he said, why would you think that? You think we're dumb or something? And that sort of launched us into a pretty interesting conversation, which he's followed up with many emails since. I guess I'm on his mailing list at the moment. But that was just sort of a jumping off point to get me to take a look at this contract. Forget what their public position of private school teachers are to the mayor's educational policies. Let's see what they've adopted for themselves. And what I discovered when I took a look at their contract, I also took a look at the contract of Francis Parker. I didn't mention that in the story. Too many names. It's another private school in Chicago.
Where is Francis Parker?
Francis Parker is on the north side of Chicago. It's right near Clark and Fullerton in the Lincoln Park neighborhood. Anyway, there's a contract. There's a unionized workforce at a private school. I think many Chicagoans may be surprised to realize that. Furthermore, it's a union contract that has all the precepts that supposedly are destroying public education. At least that's been the perspective put forth by the anti-union advocates, pro-charter school advocates, who say that if you slap these onerous union requirements onto our public system, that'll prevent the system from firing the bad teachers and from hiring good teachers. And I've long argued that these union guarantees really have no impact whatsoever on getting rid of bad teachers. It's just an excuse. Furthermore, the whole bad teacher thing is just a manufactured issue anyway. So I took a look and saw that they had stringent governing over due process things, so you can't just fire a teacher the way Mayor Emanuel and Mayor Daley have done, and you can't just change curriculum, as we discussed happened at Lincoln Park High School with the wall-to-wall IB. And you can't just yank a book out of the library or the classroom, as the mayor's people wanted to do with Persepolis. You can't do any of the things that the mayor wants. You can't unilaterally expand the day. You can't cram more kids into a classroom. They even have language governing the size of a classroom, the number of kids in a classroom, which I think is one of the great inconsistencies. Arne Duncan and Mayor Emanuel's people will argue that class size doesn't matter if you have a good teacher. And at the University of Chicago, they take quite the opposite approach. They put the language in there saying we limit class size to something like 24 or 23, because obviously they recognize that the more kids you have in the class, the less individual attention there is for each child.
I want to come back to the provisions of the contract specifically, but thinking about the union itself, the union that the lab school teachers are represented by is formally known as the American Federation of Teachers Local 2063.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a look at the history of how a union ended up at that school, and I found this book called 100 Years of Learning at the University of Chicago Laboratory Schools.
You are the man.
The man is actually William Harms, who wrote it.
Yeah, but you discovered it.
I'm not like Columbus.
Yeah.
Along with Ida DePensier.
Okay.
And they write that in the 1970s, there were financial battles that the school's administration fought through the period of what was known as stagflation in the national economy. So they increased the tuition 12% in 1970 from $1,600 to
$1,800. $1,800 a year?
That's what it says here.
Wow.
Other moves were made to balance the budget in the 70s, such as an attempt to boost enrollment and hold down teacher salaries, adjustments that were bound to cause complaints from the community. In the realm of faculty pay, the pre-collegiate board set a salary scale ceiling at 15 years experience, after which automatic pay hikes ceased, and it was previously 20 years. Teachers responded to this move by organizing a union associated with the American Federation of Teachers. They also wrote letters to the university administration, protested for salary increases commensurate with the cost of living. So the question that arises for me has to do with another AFT local, Local 1, also known as
the Chicago Teachers Union.
So why didn't they just join the Chicago Teachers Union?
This is a great question, and I have to say I don't know the answer to it. I've been searching for it myself. There's rules that govern locals being affiliated with the Chicago Teachers Union. We've talked about this with charter schools. Charter schools can be represented, as I understand it, by the American Federation of Teachers, but they cannot be affiliated directly with the Chicago Teachers Union.
I believe that's in state law.
That's in state law, yeah. It may be that they didn't even want to bother joining the Chicago Teachers Union for whatever reason. They didn't want to have to follow their rules. Maybe they got a better deal than the Chicago Teachers Union. They get more money than the Chicago Teachers Union teachers get. And they have things like academic freedom codified in their contract.
Let's take a look at the contract itself. You write that the lab school teachers contract lays out a very specific procedure for getting rid of bad teachers.
Quote, unquote, bad teachers.
Yes. It includes classroom evaluations.
Peer review.
And remediation. And I believe the Chicago Teachers Union contract with CPS has similar provisions, which, as you have written, CPS has gotten around by devising circumstances not covered by the contract.
Feel free just to rewrite the contract at any given notice or ignore it, I suppose.
So I'm concluding from that teachers' protections at the lab schools are not just a function of the contract language, but of a culture of management-faculty collaboration.
That's a very good point.
As Amy Goodman would say, your response.
Yeah, you're right. A contract is only as good as the intentions of the people who sign it. So if somebody signs a contract without any inclination to follow the contract, then you have to go to court. The reality is that the Chicago Teachers Union will take the Board of Education to court. There will be a lawsuit resulting from the violations of the contract. There will be money spent on it. It'll be time wasted. What the Board of Ed should have done is treated the Chicago Teachers Union with the respect that they afford the Chicago Parking Meter Corporation. At the moment, the University of Chicago not only signed a contract with its teachers, but they seem willing to abide by the contract they signed. Should that change, should Rahm Emanuel move from becoming the mayor of the city of Chicago to the president of the University of Chicago, I would send out a word of warning to the teachers of the lab school. Look out.
Speaking of Mayor Emanuel, let me pick at an old scab here. Okay. Mr. Emanuel, after he was elected, more than one interviewer posed the question to him, why won't you send your children to Chicago Public Schools? Uh-huh. Which he responded to by saying, and I'm paraphrasing, my children are not an issue.
Yeah.
So he responded with some pique,
right?
That, you know, why are you bringing my kids into this?
And he got mad, yes.
So I want to go back to that.
Okay.
Never mind his response. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's a legitimate question to ask? Let's pretend that he had a hands-off approach to public schools in Chicago, hired his superintendent and let the superintendent deal with it. But I think most would agree that he's not hands-off when it comes to public schools. He's
right.
Very hands-on.
Yeah.
So my question is, shouldn't someone who is that hands-on with schools, like the superintendent themselves, you know, or, you know, someone who's creating policy in the schools, shouldn't those people, if not required to send their kids to Chicago Public Schools, be able to stand to account to why? To have to answer the question?
Yes, I understand exactly what you're asking me. We may have talked about this before. I have very mixed feelings on this issue. I really don't like it when public officials' children are brought into the mix. I do believe that public officials like Rahm and Arne Duncan and President Obama have the right to protect their family from some scrutiny.
You wouldn't be talking about their family. They would be talking about their decision.
Right. But this is where I think I agree with you. I think that Mayor Rahm, like Arne Duncan and President Obama, who are setting policy on education, and in the case of Rahm, are imposing policy on education, should be forced to address the issue of what is it that they like about the University of Chicago so much that they would send their children there.
So let me flip the question around.
Yeah,
not why don't you send, but why do you send?
What is there about the University of Chicago that you like so much? And that's the point of the article I'm raising. The things that make it such a welcoming school for somebody who has the means to send their kids there are the exact things you're denying the Chicago public schools. And that's the argument that I've raised throughout Rahm's reign, not just in terms of where he sends his children to school. Usually I'm raising it in terms of where he went to school. He is a product of the New Trier public school system, which is one of the great public school systems in the world. I think that he is intentionally avoiding the central issues the whole public school debate, when he pretends as though the inequities that distinguish Chicago from Utrecht don't exist, and that in reality, all that matters is that we get, what, tough on bad teachers, give principals the authority to willy-nilly fire teachers that they don't like, to impose bizarre curricula that have no basis in teaching philosophy, just, you know, like repainting the walls, or to just expand the school day for another half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is, and force kids to sit in essentially what is a study hall. If we're going to pretend that that is what will make Chicago function like New Trier, I think we're fooling ourselves. We should take a look at what it was that made New Trier so outstanding, what it is that makes the University of Chicago Lab School so outstanding. And when you take a look at that, you see, oh, well, both have unionized workforces. They treat their teachers with a certain amount of respect. They ask them to have a hand in designing the curriculum. They don't just fire them for voicing an opinion that's contrary to the opinion being voiced at that moment, that particular moment, which is subject to change, by the principal. There's protection for them so that if you have a new principal who comes in, he or she cannot just fire whichever teachers he wants. In other words, that you govern the notion that principals change all the time. You don't want to have to change your faculty every time you change the principal. That if the faculty working with the administration decide a book like Persepolis is appropriate to be taught in seventh grade, you don't just yank the book because you feel like you want to yank the book. And then you at least have to give an explanation for why you're yanking the book. So I think that what Mayor Rahm has successfully done is avoided the central inequities in education. And he's done this by successfully creating scapegoats out of teachers. And the public buys into that. And the public buys into that for a lot of different reasons. There's a lot of envy out there. Some people don't make as much money as teachers. There's a snobbish attitude toward people who are public school teachers by wealthy people. They treat them like they're servants. And beyond that, there's the larger issue, which we've talked about many times, is that the teachers' union is a very powerful force within the Democratic Party, and it's in the best interest of the Republican Party to destroy the Chicago Teachers Union. So from a political perspective, you have to ask Mayor Rahm, why would you be joining forces with the conservative right to destroy the teachers' union? You know, that's in a political stand, that would help the Democratic Party. I think that from a local level, politically, he's probably come to the conclusion that it's in his best political interests to wage war with the teachers' union. So this is all my way of saying that by not addressing why he chooses to send his kids to the lab school, what does he see in the lab school that he likes, or why did his parents decide to send him to New Trier as opposed to Lane Tech or Lakeview High School or Senn High School? He's avoiding the central issues in the public school debate.
That's all we've got time for. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome.
Listeners, we welcome your comments and suggestions about future interviews via Facebook and Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. Did you know you can subscribe to automatic downloads of all our print and audio reporting? On your web, go to chigov.com. Look for the box that says Follow Shy Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.